Take your Bible, if you will, for just a second. I want to mention a couple of things. Turn to Mark chapter 10, if you will, in verse 15. Mark 10 and verse 15. A beautiful verse in the Bible where God reminds us that if we're going to go to heaven, we're going to be born again, be saved, then we have to come as a little child. He says in Mark 10:15, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child," if you won't receive the kingdom of God as a little child, "he shall not enter therein." The only way to get into the kingdom of God is to come in like a little child. Matthew reminds us of that too in chapter 18. They'd asked Jesus, "Who's going to be the greatest in your kingdom?" He said, "Well, here's something more important than that." In Matthew 18:1, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted," that means except you get saved, you have a change of heart, change of mind, or you get born again, "except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You notice that little child just did what Jesus wanted him to do there and humbled himself at the very voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it really takes. I'm glad that children were attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved little children, and they knew it. They would sit on his lap, and he would converse with them. Jesus loved little children, and would often, as we've seen here, use them as symbols and use them to teach great lessons, as he often would do with things that were around him, but many times with little children. And they were attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were invited by Jesus Christ. Jesus' word is always come. That's his word. "Come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." When we labor under the guilt of sin, we need to come to Jesus Christ. And that's always been his invitation. Come. And they came to the Lord, and they felt comfortable with the Lord. And I'm glad that they did. Can you imagine trying to get a child to come to some big statue of Buddha and say, "Hey, look at this. This is your God. This is the one you ought to worship." That'd scare me to death. Big, fat, ugly guy like him, you know, that wouldn't be very attractive. Or some serpentine goddess or god that they might show in the Hindu religion or something of that nature. No, Jesus, I believe, had a persona about him that always said, "I love you and I love you, little children. I love the whole world. I love sinners. Come, come to me. I'm the Savior. And I want to receive you and accept you." He claimed those little children as his very own. He blessed those little children. You can see where he did that, and that's exactly what he wants to do with us. Claim us and bless us and bring us to him. Now, the kids reminded us of something tonight that's very important. And the question is sort of asked, how do we know? And they said, well, just remember, it's in this book. Now, this, folks, is the book. It's called the Holy Bible. I believe it's God's word, don't you? I stake my eternal life on this book. And they said, well, it's in the book. And the book tells us the story. And it gives us all the information we need to know about who we are and who Christ is and what it's all about eternity, about heaven, about hell, about how to get saved, how to be ready. And he says that we're going to have to come like a little bitty child, like a little child, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, they said, even as he came. He came as a child to earth. And he was born in a stable. That was a very appropriate place for Jesus to be born. Because after all, as John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And we go back to Exodus in chapters 14 through 16. You read there about the Passover and all of that. And you read about the Lamb. A lamb for each household, and the blood placed on the doorpost and the lintels of the lamb, so that the wrath of God, the judgment of God, would not fall on the firstborn during that time. It was based on the blood of the lamb that was put up, the lamb that had no blemish, and that was all a type of the coming lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was going to come. And so that was a very appropriate place in the providence and sovereign workings of God. That was no accident, by the way. Caesar Augustus was just a pawn on God's chessboard. That's all he was. That's all any of the leaders in the world are today. They're just carrying out God's will. And they're working, and even some of those evil, wicked things that God allows, God's bringing to pass exactly what he wants brought to pass. That's the way God works. And so this lamb, this precious lamb, this little baby in blue and not in pink. I don't know that he even had a blanket other than that the swaddling clothes that they talked about, but it wasn't fancy, I grant you that. Here's the lamb, there he is, and a little baby that has come to this earth. He came as a child. He lived as a child. He walked up and down the streets of Jerusalem in those areas as a child, and then as a teenager, and then as a young man, and then as a man. Jesus, the little child, he came as a child. That was absolutely necessary. There was no other way. I mean, somebody had to come and pay for our sin debt. Because here's why. You're a sinner. And all of us can certainly relate to that. I know, and I'm sure you would know, that you're not perfect, that you're a sinner. I don't care who you are, you're a sinner. Some have gone deeper into sin than others, but all of us are sinners. The most religious person among us is a sinner. Those who maybe have been to church all their life, never been saved, they're still sinners. Nicodemus was a good old church man, you might say. And Nicodemus did everything he was supposed to be doing to the best of his ability. And Jesus said to this religious leader, a religious leader, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." Born again, born again. What in the world does that mean? You must be born again. Well, most of us would know that that means that we have to have a spiritual experience, because we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We are dead. The Bible clearly says that. How do we know? The Bible tells us. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. And we have to be born again. We don't go back into our mother's womb and go through the birth channel again. That's not what he's talking about. It's a spiritual birth. It comes from above. It has to happen. And if it doesn't happen and you don't let it happen, you will not go to heaven. You have to be born again. You must be born again. That is as clear as anything could possibly be in the Word of God. So why did Jesus come? They asked that question. Well, why? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we have the little baby in the manger? Why do we do this? Because he's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. And that's why we celebrate it. That's why we have these little pageants and these programs and the preaching of the Word of God and all of that. And we talk about gifts at Christmas because we're thinking about the greatest gift that was ever given through Jesus Christ. And why did he do that? Because he loved us. Friend, let me tell you tonight, God loves you. You say, "Oh, I don't think he loves me. If he knows me like I think he knows me, he didn't love me." Oh, he does love you. I promise you, no matter what you've done or who you are, God does love you. You say, "Well, I'm not really used to that. My mom and daddy didn't show much love, and I don't see how anybody can show a lot of love to me." God is love. And God loves us, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means die and go to hell. Should not perish, but have, know you got it, everlasting life. What a gift. take the gift of eternal life. You don't earn that gift. Little children are going to get gifts, and they don't earn those gifts. You go out and buy it. They may have been a scallywag the whole week just before they get their Christmas present. They don't deserve it. But it's a gift. Mama or somebody goes, daddy, buys it, wraps it up, gives it to them, and you hand it to them. And they take it, and what do they do? Say, well, how much do I owe you for this gift? What do I have to do to get to keep it? No, they rip that paper off and dive into it. And nowadays they have so many gifts, they just, this one's over here and that one's over there, and they're looking for something else. But it's still gifts. They're still gifts. You can't earn your salvation. You don't earn it. You do not earn it. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If I could look God in the face and say, God, now listen, let me tell you something. I didn't need Jesus. I earned my salvation. I put it out here, and I can tell you I've kept records every day since I've been old enough to keep records in my life, and I've got over here all the bad I did and over here all the good I did, and over here I did more good than I did bad, and I feel good about it. And so, God, now you're going to have to let me come into heaven. I have earned eternal life. No, you don't. You can't. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man, any person should boast. God sent His Son. His Son died in your place. God demanded perfection. You couldn't give it. Jesus gave it. Jesus then laid down His perfection. And He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we through Him might be made the righteousness of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And He says you got to come like a little child. Come like a little child. What's that, preacher? You know, little children are so trusting, aren't they? They're so trusting. My grandson, Jacob, trusts me. It's more than some of you folks. No, never mind. He trusts me. And, you know, I could tell him something and do something, and he'd do it. He trusts me. Well, that's what he's saying. God is saying, you just got to believe me. You've got to believe what I said. I sent my Son. He died for you. He died on the cross. And by simple faith, just trusting what God says, believing what God says, believing this book of books, that's how I got saved as a 9-year-old lad. I was looking at these little children up here tonight, and I thought, you know, I was about that age when I, by simple faith, came to Jesus and trusted Him as my Savior. By faith, you've got to believe the truth. And the Bible says if we believe it in our heart, and that's the mind, the intellect, the emotion, you believe with your heart and believe that Jesus came and that Jesus died and Jesus was buried and Jesus arose and know that He died for your sin, that's what He was doing. Then He says, and I love the word, you've heard me say it before, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not do, it's done. It's not something you work up to. It's not something you have to go through a catechism to get. It is something that is made available to you through the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. And so He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever done that? I hope you have. I hope there's been a time and a place in your life where you called on the Lord and you know that you've trusted Him as your Savior. Not just call on Him to get you out of some mess or just as a temporary measure, but I mean really putting all of your faith, all just like I'm standing on this platform, I have confidence it's going to hold me up. And I've had some pretty big preachers up here before, and I say to them, now that'll hold you up. Don't worry about that little green thing over there. Hey, faith and confidence in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And if we'll call on Him and believe it, then we can be saved. Just ask Him. He doesn't demand a lot. And I think there has to be the attitude of repentance and turning from to. And quite frankly, that's why a lot of people will not come to Christ. It's because they don't want to give up something, and they feel like they have to give up their friends, and have to give up their habits, and have to do all of that kind of thing, and repentance enters into that. But friend, if you'll just get born again, you'll be mighty shocked how your desires will change. Because when you get saved, your want-tos will change. And it's by trusting Christ. Come as a child. That's how you get saved. And then some of us believers need to sort of act like a child sometimes too. You know, we need to humble ourselves before God from time to time and admit that we need some help. Admit that we need Christ more in our life. A little child is so pliable, and you can do so much with them. And God wants little children that are His to walk in His will and obey Him. Don't you like an obedient child? Everybody that has children likes an obedient child. Well, God likes obedient children too. Are we being obedient to Him? Let's stand, please. Our musicians come. We invite you to come tonight in just a moment and receive Christ as your Savior. If you've never done that, we're not asking you to join our church or trying to make a Baptist out of you. First, we want you to become a child of God, a child of God's, and we hope you'll come tonight and be saved if you haven't been saved. In a few moments, we're going to baptize some folks. But here's the important thing. Are you ready? Are you saved? Do you know Christ? If not, you can come tonight and trust Him. I'll meet you right down here. All you got to do is just say, I want to know I'm saved. You see, you got to come as a child, though. Humble yourself. Just come to Christ. Get rid of all your pride. Just walk down the aisle and say, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want to trust Christ as my Savior tonight. Believer, have you a need? We're in no hurry. If you need to come and pray, do it. Father, bless. Have your will now. As we sing, God, may you touch hearts. May your will be completed in our lives tonight. In Christ's name, amen. While we sing.